Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, sin brings fighting. It disrupts peace. Sin brings division. Sin causes us to disagree because we are not like-minded. Sin alienates people from one another. Sin alienates people from God. Sin mars relationships between people. It ruins lives. It destroys families. It scatters the people of God. Tears down the church of Jesus Christ. It causes war and strife and tumult in countries. It mars every endeavor of man. Sin also brings fear and anxiety to people. Sin makes people uncertain and unsettled and ill at ease. Sin brings many hurts. It brings many unpleasant things. Indeed, life is a continual battle because of sin. One of the older members of our congregation often greets me with the question, "How goes the battle?" God calls you as His child to make peace among men. The Bible says that God keeps His people in perfect peace. Now, don't let that go in one ear and straight out the other. That's not just a trite statement. God keeps His people in perfect peace. That's what God says. God keeps His people in peace to the superlative degree. How can a person have perfect peace, peace in the superlative degree, in this fallen world of strife and war and sin upon sin upon sin? The peace of God surpasses all understanding. In this world of hurts, in this world of conflict and strife and war and fighting, God gives you perfect peace because of who He is. He is Yah. He is Yahweh, the Lord. He is an everlasting rock. He has everlasting strength. When you trust in Him, when you keep your mind stayed or fixed upon Him, He keeps you in perfect peace. Our Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus is saying that the peace which God gives is different. It is perfect. It lasts through all of the storms of life. When God says that He gives perfect peace, He means exactly that. Are you experiencing perfect peace in your life? That is the first challenge. The second is the challenge that our Lord gives us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The second challenge is for you and me to make peace in a broken, war-torn, and strife-riddled world. A world full of sinful people. And you will never be able to make peace and reconcile those who are at war unless you first know God's superlative peace in your own life. Our God is the God of peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and He calls us to His peace. But in order to know the peace of God, you must have an entirely new outlook. You must get your eyes off yourself and focus them on God. In order to have peace and in order to make peace among sinners who are at odds, you need to set your heart on doing what God commands and on glorifying the God who made you and all that is in this world. In any situation that you face, think first about honoring the Lord. Think about how you can uphold God's reputation. Think about how you can bring praise and honor to God by showing how wonderful and good and wise God is. Think about how you can show forth the mighty power of the Lord in the situations that you see or that you face in your life. Our tendency is to focus on ourselves and to focus on our own interests. We are all so selfish. Whether we're young or middle-aged or older, we so often act in a self-centered way. Indeed, we are self-absorbed. We're absorbed in ourselves, in our own little world and life, in our own interests, in our own goals, in our own view of things. That's what occupies us. And the more that we have, the more that we enjoy, the more self-absorbed we become, the more self-centered we are. And so our first reaction when there is trouble or conflict is often to be defensive. We tend to devote all of our energies and abilities to defending self and defeating the opponent. And we allow our feelings and our emotions to direct us rather than following the holy word of God. And that usually makes problems even worse. Now, there are a variety of ways that people try to deal with problems and difficulties. Some people try to escape conflict and problems. They deny that there is a problem. They pretend that no problem exists. And they may even try to cover it up so that other people will think it does not exist. They run away from it. They end a friendship. They develop a bad attitude toward someone. They quit their job. They move. They find another church. They divorce their spouse. Some people try to escape conflict and problems in their lives by killing themselves. And then there are other people who, instead of killing themselves, try to kill someone else. They go on the attack. They assert their rights. They try to control others. They try to take advantage of the situation. Civil litigation, which is at an all-time high in this country, is one way that people try to get back at someone for what they did. Some people attack a person by force or by intimidating. Some people attack another person verbally with gossip or with slander or with some other form of sinful speech. Some people attack others financially or personally or physically. Some people attack others by trying to ruin their profession or ruin their reputation or ruin or poison their friends against them. Some people become so desperate to win a dispute that they actually kill their opponent. Jesus Christ tells us here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, that if you are angry with someone, or if you have contempt in your heart for someone, you are sinning against God. You have the root of murder in your heart. Those are some of the ways that people tend to respond to hurts and conflicts, and those responses do not bring glory and honor to the living God. They do not focus on the reputation and the honor of the Lord. Rather, they focus on self. But did you know something? God is not interested in you winning. God did not create you to win. No, God created you to glorify Him. God is interested in truth. God is interested in justice and righteousness and mercy and peace and gentleness and kindness and goodness. That's what God's interested in. In the movie Chariots of Fire, one runner said to another, "May the best man win." That's what God says. May what is right and true triumph. We are often too interested in our own glory. We are too interested in our own cause. We're concerned about our own triumph. And we have to take our eyes off of ourselves and focus on what is important to God. Focus on doing what God wants. And then you will be able to see things more clearly. You will be able to understand what is going on in the situation you face. And you will be able to respond to problems more wisely. When someone wrongs you, it is often so insignificant that you should quietly and deliberately overlook it. Overlook the offense and forgive the person. God speaks about that in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. He says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger." You have the ability to discern and to decide what the right response is. And if you exercise good and proper discretion, you will be slow to get angry. And it is a man's glory to overlook a transgression. If a personal offense is too serious to overlook, it should be resolved through confessing your own sin and repenting of it, or showing the one who sinned against you his fault so that he can confess his sin and repent of it. And, of course, there are some disputes and disagreements in life that call for negotiating a mutually agreeable settlement that satisfies the legitimate needs of each party involved. In some cases, mediators can help to find an agreeable solution to a problem. In other cases, judges can dictate the just settlement of a case to the parties involved in the dispute. When a person who professes to be a Christian refuses to be reconciled, refuses to repent of his sin and turn from it unto God, the elders of the church must exercise formal church discipline to call that one who is straying back to God, to call that sinner to confess his sin and to repent. Did you know that every response to conflict costs you something? You have to give up something in order to gain another. When you make peace in a biblical way, you reap the greatest rewards possible. You reap great spiritual rewards. Because peacemakers are growing to be like their Heavenly Father. And that is what God wants you to do. That's what God wants you to be. If you try to escape from problems, you probably want a fake peace. Patrick Henry said, There are people who are crying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. That's fake peace. That's trying to ignore a problem, pretend it doesn't exist, cover it up, run away from it. People sometimes want to make things look good even when they are not. And people in the church are often more concerned about the appearance rather than the reality of peace. People who attack are more willing to sacrifice peace and sacrifice unity in order to get what they want. God wants you, every one of you, to be committed to making peace. Making real peace. And sometimes that means going to war. God wants you to work as hard and as long as necessary to achieve true justice and genuine harmony with others. The Lord God, in His infinite wisdom, created us with differences. No two of us are exactly identical. And that diversity is wonderful. It's good to have diversity among individuals. It's good to have diversity in a family. It's good to have diversity in the church. It's good to have diversity in the country. The problems that we deal with are not from the diversity itself, but have more to do with how we deal with our differences. We should seek unity without demanding uniformity. Most of us know only how to demand uniformity, not how to promote unity. Instead of demanding that other people always agree with us, we should rejoice in the diversity that God has made. Some conflicts, some problems in life are not from diversity, but are the direct result of sinful motives and sinful behavior. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only remedy for sin. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can really bring peace to human hearts, that can heal broken lives, that can restore war-torn relationships. And so problems and conflicts in life are all opportunities to practice and live out the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in doing so, to glorify God. Conflict is an opportunity to demonstrate the presence and the power of the living God who changes lives and brings unity and peace among sinners. That was a wonderful thing when God brought peace to your heart through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing when God uses you to bring peace in this world of hurt and sin and strife. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." And then Paul writes in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Conflict always provides an opportunity to glorify God. It always provides an opportunity to honor Him and to praise Him. And conflict is another kind of opportunity to love God, to respect God, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and not lean on your own understanding. And at the same time, you can show to others the power of God, the love of God, the wisdom of God and the faithfulness of God. And there are several ways that you can do these things. First of all, as one who is a peacemaker in this world of sin, you must trust the Lord. Instead of giving in to the pressures that conflict brings and taking matters into your own hands, or relying upon your own wisdom and the way that you would chart out, you must rely on the grace of God to change hearts and minds, and you must follow that way of reconciliation which God has laid out in His Word. Second, a peacemaker must obey God. One of the most important ways to glorify God is to do what He commands. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciple. If you learn from me and do what I tell you, then you will glorify God." And that's how you bear fruit that brings honor to the Lord. We hallow, we set apart as holy the name of God when we do His will here on earth as the angels do it in heaven. And that's what Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you obey God's commands, you show that you love Him and you show that you trust Him. Third, a peacemaker must imitate God. Instead of following your own sinful thoughts and tendencies when you deal with problems, you should rather imitate the Lord God. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul exhorts the people of God to be of one accord, to be of one mind. He says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind did Christ Jesus have? Well, although He was God, although He dwelt in heaven as Lord over all, He humbled Himself and He took to Himself a true human nature. He gave Himself to death on the cross for us as the sacrifice for our sins. And Paul is saying, you have that attitude too. You have that perspective also. You imitate Jesus Christ. You love God with all of your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind. You love God so much that you are willing to sacrifice your own agenda, your own glory, your own reputation, so that the will of God be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So that God be praised and honored and glorified. So that the peace of God replaces the conflict and strife of men here on earth. You see why I said that you need to have a whole new perspective if you're going to be a peacemaker? A peacemaker who focuses on God and on His Word is not dependent upon results. If you're dependent upon results, you're just another control freak, to put it in the modern lingo. You want to control what happens. I find that everywhere. A peacemaker who focuses on God and His Word is not dependent on results. You leave the results up to God, who alone can give perfect peace. You can't give anyone perfect peace. You cannot make peace among sinners no matter what you say or do. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can. Only God can. Only God can bring results, just like only God can save a sinner. When you deal with conflict, you either show that you have a big God, a God who is powerful, sovereign, almighty, wonderful, gracious, or you show that you have a big self, that you think you're God, and that problems, man's problems, are big. They're big mountains. God wants us to show that He's great. If you do not focus on God, you inevitably focus on yourself. You focus on your will, or you focus on others and what they want. When pleasing Almighty God is more important to you than pleasing yourself, you will trust, obey, and imitate Christ, and you will depend upon Him to bring the results. And that brings glory to God. The hardest thing in the world is to trust, to let go and trust. Conflict also provides an opportunity to serve other people. The first and great commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second great commandment is like to the first one. The second great commandment is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The world says the opposite. The world says, look out for number one, and that's you. God says, look out for your own interests and also for the interests of others. Love God, first of all, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. All three in the right order. When your neighbor is hating, cursing, slandering, or mistreating you, instead of reacting harshly and seeking revenge, show mercy and forgive. Show people how to work together against a common problem rather than fighting each other and making a problem. Conflict often results from unresolved problems in someone's life. That's why you can't make peace if you don't have perfect peace in the first place. If you're not at peace, you are not going to be a peacemaker. You're going to be a troublemaker. When someone lashes out, it often comes from frustration. A peacemaker finds ways to help such a person deal with their own problems. That does not mean that you should take on their responsibilities, but it does mean that you should help them lift those burdens that are beyond their abilities. You should help them learn where they are wrong, where they need to change, how they can glorify God in their lives more. You should help them to put their trust in the sovereign Lord, in Jesus Christ. When you are involved in troubles and conflicts, as all of us are, because we live in a fallen world under the curse of Almighty God, people will either see your worldly response or they will see your godly response. If you respond in a worldly way, you give unbelievers another excuse to mock Christians and reject Christ. And that's more common than you think. When I talk to unbelievers, that's often what they say. What's so great about being a Christian? Look at how they live. Unbelievers live better than they do. Why should I believe in Christ? What does He do? Unbelievers see Christian people who are focused on themselves, who are so bent on pushing their will and their agenda in every situation that they can't get along with people. That's a shame. It's a disgrace. It causes people to blaspheme the name of God. You should respond to conflict in a wise and loving way that reflects the gospel of Jesus Christ. You should respond with love and with self-control. You should encourage other people to be faithful and obedient to Christ and to trust that His way works the best. It may not work the way you want it to work, but it works the best and it works the way God wants. After all, He's in control, not you. His will should be done on earth, not yours. Your children, your grandchildren, your brothers and sisters, your friends are watching how you deal with problems, how you deal with conflicts. If you are defensive, if you're stubborn, if you're unreasonable, if you're critical, if you're impulsive, if you're dishonest, you're teaching other people sinful ways of dealing with conflict and problems. But if you deal with disputes God's way, not only are you a peacemaker whom God says He blesses, but you're also teaching other people to make peace too. And that has an important impact on how those same people deal with conflicts in their marriage, in their family, in their church, in their society, in their among their friends, and at their workplace. You are teaching people every day by how you live. They're watching you. You can't help it. God's highest purpose for you is not to make you comfortable or rich or happy. God's highest purpose for you is to make you His son. It's to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son of God. And conflict, problems, difficulties are one of the many tools that God uses to sanctify us and to develop in us a more Christ-like character. Conflict reminds us of our weaknesses. Conflict encourages us to depend upon God more. Conflict causes us to depend upon the grace of God. And when we do that, when we lean upon God's grace and God's wisdom and God's power, the more that we imitate our Savior Jesus Christ, the more glory God receives. And the more like Him we become. And the more we become sons of God. Conflict also reveals the sins in our hearts, like stubborn pride, or a bitter and unforgiving spirit, or a critical heart and mind. Through conflict, God shows us these sins, and God enables us to confess them and to repent of them, to turn from them unto God, that we might be new creations in Jesus Christ. And in place of those sins, we can practice new attitudes and new habits as we deal with problems every day in life. You will grow the most as a child of God when day after day you think and behave properly again and again and again and again and again in response to challenging circumstances. That's how you grow. When people provoke you, when people frustrate you, practice love and forgiveness. What a great opportunity to do so. When people do not act promptly, practice patience and grace. What a great opportunity to do so. When people are inconsistent, practice faithfulness and perseverance. What a wonderful opportunity to do so. Learn wisdom and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God says that you are His steward in this world. God has given you responsibilities and He has also given you resources to do His will here on this earth. And whenever you see problems and conflict among people, God is giving to you an opportunity to serve Him and to obey His word. He's giving you an opportunity to use the resources that you have to bring peace among men. And the more faithfully you follow the word of God, the more likely you will see a proper solution and genuine reconciliation. In order to be an effective peacemaker, you must study the Word of God constantly. You must always be learning more of how God wants you to deal with every situation in life. And not only learning more, you must constantly remind yourself of what you already learned. We're so forgetful. We don't think of what we already know, and we don't practice it very well. Wisdom is responding to life God's way. And the better you know the Bible, the more you remember the Bible, the wiser you will be, and the more effectively you will be able to make peace when there are problems and conflicts. Some people say, well, I've already studied God's Word. I already know what the Bible says. Why do I need to study the Bible? That shows your own lack of wisdom. That shows your own folly. We constantly need to remind ourselves of what God says. The Bible says in Psalm 1 that we should meditate in the law of God day and night. We need to grow in wisdom. We need to learn to apply the Word of God every day of our lives. And that means we need to study the Word of God every day of our lives. Second, in order to be an effective peacemaker, you have to depend upon the Lord. You have to rely upon the strength and power of the Holy Spirit to soften hearts and change lives. And third, you must realize the limits of what you can do and use the other resources that God provides. You may need to use one or two other people or even the elders of the church to deal with problems. You may need mediators or arbitrators or judges to decide a dispute. And fourth, you must be faithful. Faithfulness is a matter of obedience. It does not matter what the result of your efforts to make peace are. No, what matters is whether you have faithfully obeyed God's commands, whether you have faithfully used all the resources that God has given you. Don't try to control the outcome. Leave that up to God. You're just the steward who's called to be faithful. You must follow God's word in making peace among people and leave the results to Him. And if you do that, Jesus says you will be blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The Lord will say to you in that last day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You for bringing peace to our hearts and lives. We thank You that there is forgiveness with You, that You take away our sins as far as the east is from the west. We thank You for Your mercy shown to us so abundantly in Jesus Christ. And we pray that You will fill us with Your grace and Your Spirit, that You will enable us to be peacemakers, to have the perfect peace that You give that surpasses all understanding, and to be able, as humble but faithful servants of Yours in this world of darkness, to point others to that peace, to show them how they can find peace in Jesus Christ. We thank You for the gospel, for without it we would not have peace, and our world would not ever have peace. We thank You, Father, that today, again, You teach us the blessedness of being peacemakers, and You teach us the joy of being Your children. May we go forth as faithful stewards, as sons and daughters of our great King, Jesus Christ. In His name we ask it. Amen.